Fear not, I will pilot thee. Did you wonder at all why these two stories were placed together? Because they kind of have two different storylines. It's almost like a preacher could preach from one side or the other. And did you know that the feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels? It is the one miracle that is in all four gospel stories, which means we have four different lenses, four different voices that tell us the story. And I didn't realize the importance of storytellers until I went to Seneca Falls. At Seneca Falls, we met with Elizabeth Cady Stanton in full Elizabeth Cady Stanton attire and headpiece. This woman was a historian. She taught history at a university level, but she also did character representations. She knew Elizabeth Cady Stanton's story so well, there wasn't any nuance of the story. Her home life, her childhood, her married life, her life as a suffragette, her life with the other suffragettes, that we could ask her a question and you felt like Elizabeth Cady Stanton was there answering. Because of how deep she had dug into the original story, into the original life of this woman, and had pondered over all the different letters and correspondences and everything she could have to give dimension to this woman, to us today. Well, the Gospels sort of do that for us with Jesus' story of the feeding of the 5,000. Each writer gives us a different dimension of that day. They all share that he came across on the sea, but John mentions that it was the Sea of Tiberias. John mentions that because when Herod was developing his power, he was opening up cities around different places, and Tiberias was one of those. So if you were a person in that day that was hearing this for the first time, you knew about Tiberias. You knew what was happening in Tiberias. You knew that the money was going, filtering into the city. Your food from your farms was filtering into the city. The cost of everything was rising. And those 5,000 were probably very hungry people, that they weren't gathering on that grassy slope with their picnic tables and their awning chairs, with their wonderful Yeti cooler. They were coming with whatever they had, and some of them probably came with nothing, to hear Jesus, to be there with this man who was performing miracles, who was healing the sick. So Jesus asks that interesting question. I don't know if you caught it. He asks, "Where are you getting the food?" He doesn't ask how. He asks, where are we getting the food to feed these people? He's not worried about how. He just wants to know where it is coming from. But the answer that we get from Philip is that we don't have enough money. You know the cost of everything. We can't afford even to feed a little bit to everybody. And then Andrew shows up. And he says, there's this boy over here with two fish and five barley loaves. Five barley loaves were not the best bread in the world, okay? They kind of stunk. You didn't really want to have barley loaves, which meant this was a poor boy bringing whatever he could bring. The youth would tell you that's like Pastor Carolyn bringing the worm bread. It was rosemary and olive oil. I liked it, but the kids thought it was wormy. It was sourdough with the rosemary. But anyway, barley loaves were not what you wanted to have. But that's what came. And then the unexpected happened. I loved what it was not. See, the names are going right over my head. It was Mackenzie. Or was it your sister Delilah? It was your sister Delilah who said, it just must have kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger as he, and my thought was he just kept breaking off the bread and the bread just never stopped. He didn't have to go get a second loaf. Well, he might have had to go through all five, but each time more and more. It was a never-ending smorgasbord, because it says, did you listen? It said, it gave till everyone was satisfied. Satisfied. Have you ever sat at a table and you looked at what the host had put out there, and you looked at everybody around and you went, oh, I better just take a little bit because we're not going to have enough to eat? Have you been to those meals? Or have you... Yeah, well, this was not that meal. There was still a little bit, but everyone was satisfied. You know, when Jesus shows up, it's so unexpected, isn't it? What happens in the midst of it all? And then, so they all get fed, and the crowd gets all excited, and they do that earthly thing. They want to make him king. And he knows that's not... they had a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. They had a foretaste of what the kingdom of God is like, but they wanted him to be the king of humankind. So he went away. Now, we expect from the next part of the story that he was supposed to go across the sea again, and his disciples were probably doing this thing. We know we're supposed to go. He's not here yet, so we're going. And off they went. And the sea, the storm began. And there he appeared. Now, I don't remember, a few weeks ago we had that same story. And we had the peace be still because he was asleep in the bow. You know, but this is a different telling of the story. Again, a deeper, deeper telling of the story of what happens when Jesus arrives. The unexpected happens. They didn't know he was there. He had to tell them, hey, don't be afraid, it's me. And then suddenly... they were where they were supposed to be. What faith is required? Just a little bit, isn't it? We don't see faith happening in these disciples, do we? They're worried about the money. They're worried about feeding. They're worried about the storm. They're afraid. But Jesus is there in all of it. And the unexpected happens in each case. Janice reminded us this morning, Jesus was very visible at the feeding and very absent on the sea, yet he was present in both. And the unexpected, the end results happened. They got to their destination. People got fed. If we just have faith that the kingdom work that we're called to do is here for us, and if all we have to do is show up and do it, we don't have to worry about what the long-range plan is. What is the 5-year plan? What is it? Well, we do have to plan it, but we don't have to worry about it. We can just have faith that if it's of God, it will happen. If it's not, God's going to make it go away. Because God does the unexpected. And it's absolutely beautiful. He made barley loaves taste good because people were satisfied. And the disciples didn't have to row anymore because they got to shore. Can we have that kind of faith? Can we? That God, Christ is here, whether we see him or not. Christ is present here because two or three are gathered. And we can expect the unexpected to happen. Isn't that wonderful? So let's live in that sense of wonder and awe that Christ with us means miracles happen every day, even at the feet of our stairs. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.